You're their forfeit.
These are so embarrassing.
To win any motherfucker always be funny.
Nice work, you dunce.
So Pat was in a debate with his, he's going to, through school. And right now, let's go around the room. Is remitify a word? Is remitify a word?
Remitify.
It can be.
That was my answer as well, Mike. What's your take?
Remitify.
Noah.
That is a word, yes.
Okay. Johnny?
Remy. Oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's
see. I mean,
it sounds
me,
good.
My assumption is that it's like to remedy, to repair, to fix, you know, to remitify.
Okay.
To remitify a situation. You know what I mean?
Sounds about right. That,
apparently, she fucking docked him. She's like, you have to check your language. This is not
a real word.
This is not a real word. And then I was like, dude, no, dude, that's a word. And then he went in and we looked on Google and stuff, and it's like, it's technically a usable word, but it's not in the English dictionary. And so she was able to get him on that.
It's slang.
It's like a slang, I guess. But yeah, still, it sounds right.
The reason I
Otta is in the English dictionary, and that to me is like, that's a slang
the same
word.
Thing. Yeah,
you know,
like
it just
that.
Hasn't made the cut yet. Mm-hmm. That's a technicality.
The reason I felt like it was a word, because you take the first suffix, re. You're doing something again.
Mm-hmm.
Remedify, modification.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I went with them. I'm like, yeah, okay.
So how would you explain retard?
Because you're a tard again.
And over and over again?
Because everyone's a tard, but you're a tard twice. And that's what you know.
That's why in music we have remix.
Oh,
there was a mix, and then you redid it. And this fucking guy over here, and I'm sounding like Bill Burr.
Ah! What the hell, dude?
What the hell, dude? I didn't fucking say anything about remitification. What the fuck? What am I doing? All right, here we go.
Are we good, Mick? We ready?
I think we're rolling. Yeah, we've been rolling.
Oh, let's go. Let's
never catch his signal. I don't know why he never
catches
his signal.
I don't look at him. That's why.
You just can't. You're a jilted lover. You just
I'm
can't.
Above him now.
We don't look each other in the eyes anymore.
He likes me. He likes me too much. He's like a schoolgirl.
I can't look at him.
He's like a schoolgirl. That's like
he gets me all giddy and everything.
He can't look at me.
Yeah.
Come on.
Can't even look at you right now.
It's the beautiful brown eyes and charismatic.
Let's do the introduction. If you want, go for it, Mike, and then we'll have Johnny introduce our guests here.
Yeah, go Mick. You. And then me. And then boom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what's up, guys? What's up, guys? Welcome to These Two Podcast. Thank you for tuning in today. Go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button as we get started here today. And hit that bell icon for get more information about what we're doing over here. Right?
That's right.
Perfect.
That's right. So let me kick it over to Johnny.
Anthony.
Go for it.
Well, I mean, I'm here. I'm here on this side, but Johnny's going to introduce our guest. You guys know me. I'm Anthony, and that's Johnny. And here we go.
What is up? My name is Johnny Savage, a.k.a. Johnny Savage. Johnny, a.k.a. Johnny Savage. Thank you for listening to another Stool Podcast, episode, 39? It's going to be a fun one.
Oh, wow, dude, we are so close to 50.
So close. That's our goal, guys. 50 episodes is the goal, the first goal.
I don't know. I don't want to call it season one, but that's like our
that's
first
like,
cycle.
Yeah. Right. Well, they say every podcast, if you get to episode 50, that's where you either going to keep going or you're going to stop.
Yeah, you've tested your salt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think we're going to keep going. I have full faith in what we do.
I enjoy
fun.
Every time we get to do this.
Yeah, it's the best.
I look forward to it
every single time. And today in studio, we have a very good friend of mine that I've known for about almost 20 years. One of my close homies. His name is No Way. He is a musician. He is a comedian. He is a writer. No Way.
Take it away.
Yeah!
Take it away. No Way.
No Way. Take it away.
Yes, I...
tell us about...
Dude, 2004 is when I met Johnny and...
Yeah, see, like 20 years.
Damn.
Very... More than that.
Crazy.
Okay.
21.
Yeah. I do comedy, death metal, whatever the fuck, whatever you want to call it. That's what I do.
Name some of your bands that you've been in.
Let's start with
Vulgar, which is our first band, I guess.
Yeah,
and you play.
I play guitar. I don't do lead guitar.
You're just like a rhythm guy.
I'm a write the song and let the lead guitar do what he...
I'm pretty much the same way. I mean, yeah. I've been getting shreddier. I'm trying to get more virtuistic on my guitar playing, but I'm old. My brain doesn't work the same way as it used to.
No, dude.
It's for the young kids.
I love writing. And when it comes to guitar, I'm like, I'm going to write the basic outline and then you guys do what you got to do. All right? You sing, you do the lead, you do the bass. I just write the structure.
The foundation.
Comedy. A lot of my friends like, dude, you should do stand-up comedy. And then finally I did stand-up comedy and I'm glad I heard and did that. Yeah, that was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, here we go.
What are you doing these days? Have you had any gigs lately or you still just writing music?
No, I'm just writing right now, man.
Just writing?
Dude, like, and I know you guys know this, but there's moments where you're like, let me take a break.
Yeah.
I gotta just chill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just chilling.
That's good.
Just chilling,
bro. It's perfect time to come on a podcast.
You gotta do it.
There you go. I could talk. I could talk all day.
All day.
I could talk all day. But yeah, when you give me a pencil and paper or an instrument, hey, write something, on paper or guitar, then I'm like, okay, well, you got to get me.
You know the thing that makes me, and I've realized this way too late in the game, the thing that makes me write, the thing that gets me off of my ass is new music. And a lot of the times I find that I'm in those pockets of like, it's like a dry spell.
Mm.
It's, I'm like, I've been just listening to all like my favorite stuff over and over again. And like, I've been starting to make it an active thing to like, you know what, I'm going to go either find an artist that I like or find an artist that everyone's talking about. And maybe I won't connect with the record, hence our little topic that I got into here. But a lot of the time, if I do find something new and special, and I'm like, oh, that's fucking tight. Yeah, and I fall in love with it.
It gets me going.
Then it'll get you going. And then when you sit down, like what I'll basically end up doing is trying to like learn the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that jam session, I'll just have this like little natural tail end of that jam session learning that song, and it'll lead me to playing my own little riffs and like, oh, that's a song idea.
There you go.
That's basically that's all what
you
it need is.
To do. You know, that's really one of the things that really has helped me kick like writer's block, at least with guitar and jammy stuff. And then also, you know, it works sort of the same with lyricism. You know, I've been noticing that too. Like there's a band called Capstan, amazing lyricist, this guy. And basically, great band all around. They're awesome, awesome band. One of my favorite bands right now. But his lyricism is very fucking poetic. Very, mm-hmm. if you compare it to some of the modern pop and stuff that's out there, so fucking good.
I do want to say, okay, lyricism. That's the first time I heard that. I'm a reader. I think Johnny could testify about that. I read a lot. Man, where did that come from? What got you to that point?
With like, what do you mean?
Lyricism.
Like, I mean, I write music. You know, I've written shit, dude. Like, I wish I could show you guys like the mosaic that I put together of all my album covers that I made. But I've tried. I'm at 145 plus songs at this point in my career.
That's a lot, dude.
Yeah, that I've written, and they're all up on Spotify and YouTube and stuff. And like to me, I've written songs that are not lyrical at all, and I've written songs that are like, you know, like based on the lyrics and stuff, and like they started with the lyrics, and ironically, those ones are the ones that had the most staying power. Is those lyrically based ones?
Yeah.
You know?
The ones that had lyrics or the ones that didn't have lyrics?
The ones that I started with like a lyrical idea, and then maybe down the line I had some other random guitar riff idea, and then I was like, this actually kind of fits to the thing that I'm screaming in my head, like because I'll just go blah 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 blah, you know, think of melodies and stuff like that. You. And then I'm like, actually, the lyrics for this note that I have on my phone really fit that. You know what I mean? So it comes together like that. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my question to you is, does the lyric come first or does the rhythm guitar come first? Like, because to me, it's a little...
You want to know something that I think this is something that a lot of musicians should learn?
Here we go.
Stop asking that question. Stop thinking about what comes first. Just do whatever comes first naturally. Because I've written songs that start with the lyrics. I've written songs that start with the drum part. I've written songs that start with the bass part. I've written songs that start with the guitar part. And I like a lot of them. You know what I mean? And I think you're probably the same way, like where it's like if you have a baseline. Now you were talking about when you write with D&G and stuff. It's like if this is the line, like that's the part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I think having a formula of like, okay, cool. Our guitarist always like he comes up with a riff, and then the next song he comes up with a riff. And that's repetitive. No, like the way you guys talk about with the dunce. You know, it's like
this is
be experimentative.
Experimenting,
I'm not gonna, experimental. Experimentative is not an English. English
I'm
word.
Not gonna dis-
that. Let's just use words that are not in the English dictionary.
I'm not gonna disagree with you, but I guess my formula is like I always like when I'm at work, whatever. I'm like, you know,
you
I'm doing
the riff.
I'm doing the riff part, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, what is that going to create? And then I'm like, what am I thinking when I'm writing that? So, like, that's why I don't disagree.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird way to put it out. Like, there, like that's only why I say only ask, stop asking that question. You know, I'm not saying it there. Let's say it's a bassist is the core writer of a band and everything starts with a bass line.
Bass is dope.
Or a drummer is the core writer and everything starts with the drums. And that's their formula. But there's bands like Thrice where like all four of them are like core writers. Hey, now all four of them are core writers and they all kind of come up with different ideas. And to me, I think that like, yeah, that adaptability in your writing will keep it exciting. It'll keep it enjoyable and like fresh and like, oh yeah, you know what? Like maybe the first 20 songs that I wrote were on that formula. I wrote a guitar riff, wrote the drums around it, added bass. Then we did vocals. But maybe on the 21st song, I had this like vocal idea. And I was like singing it and I recorded it. And then, all right, well, how does that go when I'm like, I hear, okay, cool. And then you write the drums and like, all right, I need my guitarist to come in here and something within the key of what I'm singing. And then, okay, cool. That's the chords. That's a chord progression. And that's changing the order of operations, you know what I mean? But it's still, you end up with a cool product, you know? Oh, so it's like, man. You know, you really got to experiment. Don't close yourself off to the idea.
Me up, bro.
Don't close yourself off to the idea of
I definitely won't. But as musicians, we're always
you
like
you play to your strong suits.
What I'm trying to look at it, or what I have been looking at it, like, dude, everybody has their own formula,
how
to approach music. And I'm listening to yours, and I think it's dope.
I mean, to me, like I said. A lot of my friends, they are skateboarders and a lot of them are video gamers and stuff. And me, I've just always loved writing music. And it gets stale if you're like, okay, I just want to write punk songs. I just want to write metal songs. So that's why I have acoustic records. I have like post-hardcore records. I have conceptual, like progressive rock records. Like, and so that's all part of my catalog. And like, I'm even doing like basically like 8-bit video game style music. I'm doing a record, like a little EP that I want to put out soon. But just so I could experiment with my talent in songwriting. You know what I mean? Just my ability to write songs, you know?
That's the thing about being a musician. It's like, if you're like, I don't know if it's the right term is like a true musician, but like, I feel like everybody that I label as like a true musician always wants to experiment and like
if you have a love
wants
for
to do
it,
something different, you know? Like not the same shit over and over. It's like there's always something extra.
I got a question. Dave Rubin.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't play instruments, but he knows how to write.
Rick Rubin.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Not that's what I was thinking.
You're good.
Rick Rubin. So he claims, maybe I'm wrong, he doesn't write any music.
Yeah.
He just knows what the and I'm like, I can't combat this.
Yeah.
The dude is good.
Yeah. He is.
What do you guys think about that?
We've
actually talked about him a couple times on here too.
Shit.
And,
okay.
And you know, he comes up a lot. Obviously he's a music writing legend, you know, a production legend. And to me, I think that is a talent in itself. I would say I don't naturally have that talent. For sure.
Yeah.
I would
like, for
say
example,
production, like something that's more like mix. Mick, he has an ear for it and he knows an arrangement like right off the top of his head. He knows what he wants. He sees it like as a
what
vision.
I'm trying to say is like, let's just say you never picked up a bass, you never picked up sticks or guitar or whatever.
How would you?
But not me. I'm asking you guys. How do we say, that's wrong?
Yeah.
What the But that's what Rick Rubin's doing. I'm like, but you know what? He's right.
He's right.
Yeah.
I think it's because he's such a fan. He's probably such a fan of music and that he knows it by like hearing it. You know, he's just an anomaly. That's all it is.
Yeah, he's the type of person who could hear a song. You could hear a song once or twice, have the arrangement like figured out, and then he probably listens to just new music every day. Mm-hmm. So his palate is so broad.
Yeah,
he knows exactly the trick to pull.
Yeah.
Out of his catalog of tricks,
because he has everything under his belt. That's the thing that's different from him. Like he has everything under his belt.
I agree with that.
But I really think it is just.
He just knows it.
He's a huge fan of music, you know, and that will create that. You know what I mean?
Is there like a contingent on like a favorite producer? Do you have like a favorite producer or one that you really respect and love?
I got a question about that one.
I got one that I respect because it's just the way he does it, you know, and mine is Ross Robinson.
A lot of people love Ross Robinson.
Slipknot, Korn, Limp Bizkit, Deftones, everybody. Like everybody in my era of what I like. You know what I mean?
If I have to pick mine, it's going to be biasly Joey Sturgis or maybe Chris Sturgis Kermit.
Sturgis too.
But Sturgis fucking rips. He's the man, bro.
He's so good.
What about you, Mick?
He's so good that I want
for producers.
Yeah, favorite producer?
Well,
he's going to have some fucking guy from fucking the Netherlands that we never heard of.
No.
Jürgen Furth von Sturdensmurden.
No, it's a...
You guys are stupid.
No, dude. For producing, Dave Rubin.
Oh, you said Rick Rubin?
Rick Rubin.
Yeah,
nice.
That makes sense.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing.
That makes sense.
This is the one that messes me up.
Yeah.
Hello. This is the one that really scrambles my brain. The guy who produced the Black Album, Metallica.
Oh, Wall of Sound, Phil Spector.
No.
No?
When you say his name, I know it. Anyway, this dude.
Hey Siri, who produced Metallica's The Black Album?
No way, your headphones are backwards.
Bob Rock.
All right.
Phil Spector was the guy who he's in jail now, right?
All right. So Bob Rock.
I don't know who that is.
Amazing producer, whatever.
His last name is Rock. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. But after that year, a lot of the Metallica fans were like, "What is it? What am I listening to?" We went from to
and
it confused a lot of people. So to me, it was like, okay, that's cool. If they really want to turn the pages, all right, fine. But damn, that producer, I think he made the most impact on the metal community.
Can I add to that a little bit?
Go for it. Yes.
Basically, okay, so my memory of the Black Album is my introduction to Metallica. And six-year-old me.
We're about the same age. All right.
You know, so it's like it was I was young, you know, my dad, you know, he was getting into this music. My parents were when I was very, very young, they were very religious, and then eventually they broke off the extreme religiosity. Mm-hmm. And then my dad started just jumping into K-Rock and KCAL FM and all these playing AC/DC and Kiss and all that stuff. And that was when I was starting to get introduced to it. Now, the Black Album, I remember that was huge. When my dad, he purchased the CD. And back in the 90s, when you purchase a CD, it is not how it is nowadays when you just, a record came out. No, dude, you put it on fucking repeat.
Yep.
Like four or five times. You're hanging out, and so you know, we would go swimming, and so there's memories attached to the Black Album with me and those riffs, and then eventually I became cultured and learned all the earlier Metallica stuff. And
how old are we? I'm 39. Where are you at?
38. So I'm a year right under you.
All right.
But I came acquainted with all the Black Album stuff first. And then learned about the Ride the Lightning and all the other albums, and when I was becoming a guitarist, and that's textbook level, entry level.
Yeah,
you got to learn a Metallica riff or two before you start playing guitar. And when you start learning that stuff, you see, oh now I get the hate on the Black Album, because they were like a thrash metal band, and thrash metal is never going to be mainstream. It never will be. I think there's no possibility of making it mainstream. If you take a thrash metal band and you want to turn them mainstream, guess what you have to do? Remove the thrash metal from the music. And that's honestly still evident in my fucking little point that I have here to make.
Yep. But you're not wrong.
So I more or less I got it. I got why those fans felt betrayed, but fans like myself, and I know there's a lot of them, would not exist to go back and appreciate. That's where Metallica and Bob Rock were brilliant, is they were like, okay, so we have basically maxed out the market on thrash metal fans. You got everybody. Everybody loves you. Now, if you want to grow as a band, if you want to keep continuing a legacy, and you, more importantly, you guys want to keep on writing new and exciting music, we got to change up some stuff. And the fans, guess what? Most of the time, the contingent of fans dumb. No, they don't get it. They'll hate on it. And the Black Album got a lot of hate. It got a lot of hate upon initial release.
You're right about that.
You know what I mean? But over time, it becomes this classic. And the young fans that fell in love with that record just add to Metallica's army of people who love Metallica. And they go back. And then I guarantee you, the ones who are like complaining about the Black Album, that were like pumping up like all their first albums, and like they came around because they still love Metallica.
That's no rebuttal.
Brilliant move. Mm-hmm. That's the brilliant move. Is the Metallica, they really kind of did, they took a risk to be like, okay, we do have to change some things, and they fucking did it successfully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No rebuttal here. The man has said the truth. No, dude, you're right. I mean, what are you supposed to do after that? You know, okay, we talk about comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
After 10 years of doing, hey, how much do you really want to keep doing that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. After a while, you're like, you know what? Maybe I'll take the Carlin approach or whatever. You're like, you know, I'm older now. I'm approaching 40. I'm like, the shit that I'm seeing right now, I'm like, let's make fun of it.
Yeah.
Now it becomes adult shit.
Yeah.
I'm not a clown anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the difficulty I'm having with comedy. That's why I haven't been on stage as much. So.
Especially with how sensitive people are these days. Yeah, it changes everything.
So everything you're saying.
People need comedy though.
Yeah.
Besides that. But yeah. Go ahead.
But everything he said.
Yeah.
On point, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to cry a little.
Honestly, play a little bit of Enter Sandman, please, for this gentleman.
I can hear the bass.
I love me some Cliff
Burton. But I think that just ends up happening with fan bases. You could make any sort of parallel to like bands like Green Day or Nirvana or like any of those bands that really like made a big name for themselves in a small pocket of fans.
Right.
Yeah, those fans are always eventually going to turn on them. That's why I want to talk about Turnstile. Can we talk about Turnstile?
Let's talk about Turnstile.
Can we queue up? Yeah, I promise I won't more than maybe 55 minutes talking about this.
Now, all right.
Give me like an 8-minute segment.
I'm all in on this.
Let's play some Turnstile. Let's actually find some live performance footage of them. That would probably be the best.
So I know that me and Mick, when we went to, what is that show in Vegas, Mick?
Sick New World.
We were approaching the stages because Mr. Bungle was on. And I remember at the same time, Turnstile was playing. So Turnstile was playing and we were getting, like trying to get up there for I think Mr. Bungle or Incubus, one of them. And I remember the Turnstile was playing. I was just like, okay, well, that's cool. Everybody loves those guys. I don't get it. That's all I'm going to say is I don't get it.
That's fine, Johnny.
And I listened to a little bit after because I'm like, these guys are huge. Let me check it out because I've been the guy that when I was growing up, I was always the guy. If like there's a popular band, I'm like, no, that. But I've actually. Sometimes some of those bands that I've done that to, I'm like, oh, this band is actually good.
I get it. They win you over at some point.
Right. I'm like, no, I get why people, I get why they're super popular. Like Billie Eilish was one of them. I'm like, I don't know. Why does everybody love this?
No. But then I found out. The songwriting, you get into it.
Yeah.
Hello. Hey, we lost Mike. What happened? We lost Mike.
What happened, Mick?
Oh, man, it'd be so... Please just come. Oh, I was going to say, just come, Johnny, come in on
that?
A G-E-R sound when your mic comes back in.
But
we have fun here.
Billie Eilish was one of them for me. Like, I just was like, yeah, I was bitch, right? And then I started listening to her music. I was like, all right, it's pretty fucking sick.
She still seems like not a good hang.
I like her.
Probably not a
good hang, right?
But her producer, Phineas,
she seems like an annoying chick. She's probably like very prima donna. Yeah, also, I'm a big fan of The Doors. I kind of put it together the other day after, for the first time ever watching The Doors movie. I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
Finally watched it. I'm like,
such
honestly,
a good movie.
This guy's, honestly, the movie's great too. It is great. I love the movie.
But have you heard their music?
Oh, no, I love The Doors. Okay, I'm a huge fan.
Right. Been a huge fan since.
I'm a huge fan of The Doors. But I look back and I'm just like hanging out with Jim Morrison. Dude was probably a bit of a rag, dude.
Yeah, no, he probably was a bit of a rag. You're right about that, dude. I'm not going to fucking lie.
I don't want to hang out with a jerk off.
You're right about that, man.
Do we get some live tour style? Or is this just one of their music videos?
It's their latest video.
Oh, I don't even care for...
He wants a live video.
Yeah, let's see
Mick.
Some performance of the actual band and the fan interaction.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Make sure you wash your hands.
How long are we? 2 hours?
I think it's been like 20 minutes. When did we start? Like 3? It's been like 40 minutes.
Yeah, we're about halfway through. But so I'll give a little bit of background, right? Trapped Under Ice, you're familiar. The band Trapped Under Ice, Johnny?
Huh?
Trapped Under Ice. Are you familiar with the band?
Nope.
No. Never heard the name.
I don't know who that is, no.
Hardcore band. Mike, have you heard that name?
It's a kind of cool name, actually.
Never heard the name.
So yeah, that was like a pretty prominent band in the early, like, when we were graduating, 2004.
Oh, this is an old band.
Yeah, pretty
this
old.
This is like 30 years old then.
Yeah, pretty old. old shit.
You old fucks. I'm like 2 years younger than you guys.
But, but yeah, so basically the members of that band, the main guitarist is who started Turnstile.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Yeah, he started he started Turnstile as like the core writer
and guitar player, you said.
And I think he eventually just moved over to vocals, I think is how it ended up working. Or he did vocals and guitar at the same time. I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, and they wrote some actually pretty decent, cool, kind of like hardcore-y records.
As Turnstile,
as this new
project.
So
the beginning of Turnstile was actually kind of cool, is what you're saying?
Yeah. No, they came out, they came across, you know, as like this like hardcore band. They won over audiences the same way that, you know, like your band, you know, you guys have a lot of fun on stage. It's a lot about crowd interaction and aggression and, moshing and stuff. And so they did a lot of that kind of music.
Let me catch you up, Noe. There was a band back in the day.
Trapped Under Ice. You ever heard of Trapped Under Ice?
No.
Okay.
That's a cool name, though. If you think about it, like somebody being trapped under ice.
I am not going to lie.
I don't know how intense is
it. We're trapped under ice.
That's kind of dark. Do you think we could pull up a little bit of Trapped Under Ice? Would that be too hard? Or just literally, just the song. We don't even need the video or anything, just on the Spotify. But yeah, so this was the original band, all in the hardcore roots, lead singer and
so Trapped Under Ice, the guitar player started Turnstile.
Is that a Metallica? Like,
what?
Because Metallica had a song on... one of their second album, Trapped Under Ice. Is that what it came?
Very well might be. Oh. I couldn't even tell you.
No, that's a Metallica song.
Very possible.
Title.
Very possible. Yeah, play one of them tracks.
Make
You Do.
You said second album?
Second album. What's that? Under Lightning.
Ride the Lightning.
Yeah.
There you go. Here's some Trapped Under Ice.
All right.
That early 2000 hardcore.
Thrashy. All right.
Well, yeah, we get it.
What year is this, Mick?
What, this one?
Yeah.
So not sure.
It isn't. Should show. Spotify should show it.
2011.
I don't mind this, dude. I love these type of vocals.
Okay, so yeah, this is all later than I thought. I was giving you guys too early a timeline. But yeah, so like, I guess towards like, you know, that area of time.
Yeah, too, they have an EP 2008.
Yeah, so about, I would say that's the earliest is 08 then.
Okay,
and then
so
in that timeline, well, Trapped Under Ice is an active project. Turnstile starts, and then the lead singer starts his own other project as well. I forget that name of that project.
Okay, but then the guitar player from this band started Turnstile.
Started Turnstile.
Okay.
And now that kind of style of music, that was dude, basically
Thing Noé, Turnstile is fucking huge.
They're so big, dude. They've like okay, huge. So, been on the mainstream of
and your most Coachella. Base and your most basic way to have my old but understand this. What is it? Turnstile.
Well, we're gonna get to it right now.
Yeah, I'm giving a little bit of background as to why I want to talk about this band to shreds.
All right, take no.
This is why I love this.
I'm the old dude. I'm the old guy in this conversation.
I'll try to zip through this. What is this?
You guys got to understand. Noé's still listening to Entombed. He's not really progressed further than that.
Okay.
You motherfucker.
All right, let's let this run for a little bit.
All right, here we go.
All right, like Noé, you can see it right there on the right top side.
I hear it. Yeah, I see it.
Okay.
Yo, I like that.
Put it up a little bit, Mick.
Yo, that shit's dope, bro.
It's a girl on guitar, too?
Yes, it is.
I don't like this vocalist, though.
I like the beat, though.
I don't mind it.
Okay. We'll just get positive there.
It's just old school.
No. I need you guys to see two things. Johnny in particular, I want you to see both of these. Right. Black basses, female guitars.
Of course. We know what they're doing.
Okay.
what the fuck? Hold on. I'm trying to play it all.
Ask that question again.
Okay, so this is what I this is
what
okay.
The fuck
is I'm gonna lay all this whole thing out as to how I unfold this band, right? This is one of the bands that is subversively a media manipulator. This is to me I think this band I believe the guitarist's name is Brendan. You could check me on that, or I'll check it if I need to. Hey Siri, who's the lead singer of Turnstile? So I believe his name is Brendan, and he is a very smart individual. He's great at writing songs, but that has never been his thing. He is like the punk rock MBA to me. He's a phony. He's a person who knows how to do this and knows how to make the music and manipulate the fans of the music. He that's why he started off writing hardcore music, found those fans. That's an easy fan base to tap into.
Yeah.
And then if you listen to their newer music and you see how different it is from their older
music.
Why do
you think he did that?
To make money, to be as successful as he is now. And I think it's
huge.
This is one of the things that really bothers me about the music industry is if you have a, it doesn't matter how talent, well, actually it does. You have to have the musical talent first. That I will say that's a predecessor, it's a precursor. But if you have the musical talent and the marketing genius, marketing abilities to promote your band and to know how to manipulate your audience into always supporting what you do and loving what you do, it doesn't matter if it's genuine or not.
Yeah.
And this, to me, this band, this is how I titled this segment. Five arguments for why Turnstile is a shit band that makes garbage rip-off music for uncultured hipster posers.
What other bands you think do the same thing?
Okay, so I have a direct list of bands. I spent time this week listening
this
to their entire
the
catalog. I'm telling you, I did homework on this shit. This is why I have a very, very. But okay, so that riff that you like so much, that it's a groove ripped off from NOFX. They rip off riffs from Jane's Addiction, Hole, Stun. Parts from Lydia, Zebrahead, Sound of Animals Fining, Depeche Mode, Sublime, and the Queens of the Stone Age. And they literally, this is the type of songwriting where it's they go in, they're like, okay, how did those people write this song? Okay, I like that groove, let's steal that groove. Okay, let's change the chord progression. And then they fuck it. They're not being creative with their own songs.
Dude is not wrong.
That's a way you could just go in there, you can manipulate the songwriting element of it.
What bands now do that?
What do you mean?
That's a good question. Is there other bands that do that?
Right. What bands I would right say
now? Turnstile's now. These guys are doing it like every
day. I would say there's a handful of them. Like, I mean,
Movements is a band that I think has a very hacky sound to them.
That's why I never liked them.
Yeah, they have a very...
People hate me for that. I'm like...
I'm going to be honest, as much as I do enjoy Spirit Box, they're definitely also another marketing machine band. Right. You know what I mean? And so, I love Spirit Box. I'm going to be honest, I it's a hard one to admit to and to cop to, but this is why we don't want this to...
What about Spirit Box is like that, what you're saying?
Look at their Instagram page. They're selling her image.
Yeah, I mean,
her image is more important. Her image is way more important than the sound of their music. It really is, dude. All
right.
Because
that's what any chick vocalist.
No, this is every the, chick, this is every the dynamic chick we're building. This is the dynamic we're building, and I'll wrap around and I'll wrap it up right now around to that whole thing where I said black bassist, girl guitarist. Guess what? Those aren't original members, but they were hired guns. They were hired guns, and guess what? And guess what? In the age of social justice, we want a minority in the band. We want a female in the band. That's fucking pandering and manipulative.
Yep, I agree with that.
So, I go all in on my argument that Turnstile is a shit band that makes garbage rip-off music for uncultured hipster clunkies.
Got it, dude. I'm with you on that. I agree. And that's been the rant to be corner of today's podcast.
I agree. Also, I hate their lyrics. They're for teenagers.
he's a
dude.
He's gonna be singing those same lyrics when he's 25 years old.
Johnny, you know what's fucking funny? Is that we could go on for like 3 more hours. All right,
that's what this podcast is about.
Yeah, okay,
so listen, I want
to
hear you brought to the table a song.
Oh,
American
yeah.
Headcharge.
Yeah, let's
dude,
that shit.
This guy's projection on his voice, you'll love it.
Oh, is he playing already?
Here we go. No, Nick is playing stupid.
I was gonna get another drink.
You motherfucker.
This fucking. This episode's gonna be so unhinged, dude.
Honestly, Johnny,
if you wanna film a little Patreon or Instagram. Like tidbit of me reading that note to Ronnie Radke. I'm just ready to throw it out there. Remember the comment I said, the response comment?
Yeah.
I'm ready to read that rant.
Yo, it's so funny. I get people hating on me because of my comment that I put on Ronnie's.
Oh, dude,
people are like, "What are you fucking? You like Pokemon? You're a fucking pussy."
Oh, get the fuck out of that bullshit.
Okay, I'm telling everybody right now, Ronnie Radke is a pussy.
Dude, I will read the rant right now. Dude, you are a drop. You're a drop. You're a drop now. Johnny's a drop. Johnny with a delay on him. It's fucking great.
So funny.
All right, did we find the song? We're looking for American Head Charge.
American Head Charge.
American Head Charge, a song for
the suspect.
Song for the suspect.
Podcasting.
So, but yeah, no, what brought you across this song? Like, how did you come across this band?
So.
Here, he's pulling it up.
He's pulling it up. All right. So,
he got this.
Check this out. So, okay, now we're in high school, right? 2012, part of it. Anyway, my friend, he's a metalhead. He's like, dude, listen to this demo, bro. Literally said it that way. I'm like, all right. And it was some kind of like, some like metal fest, whatever. And he's like, dude, listen to this fucking song and listen to his voice. And that shit hit hard. It was like track 3 or 4. I was like, and then I went back the next day. I was like, dude, who is this? We gotta watch this. Here we go. Fast forward.
Is that how it starts?
And I was about to say.
It doesn't start like that, Mick.
No. Come on, I was dude. About to say, that's a hard cut know. In.
Jesus Christ, man. Jesus. What the fuck is going on here?
This is on their page, I don't know what to tell you.
Did you hit space bar?
No. Lock the stop if you did.
What was that, dude? Get the damn program, dude.
Unhinged. So, Johnny. What gets smaller every time you take a bath?
My penis.
Besides that.
Depends how cold it is.
Now let's imagine that you're a girl. This riddle is for every...
Soap. Bar soap.
You're good. You know what's up.
I use bar soap, that's why.
I like bar soap. People like body wash.
Hey, Dr. Squash.
It doesn't... You use Dr. Squash?
I've been using it for 3 years, dog. It's the best soap. Like, cause
I bet you it is good.
I'm a dry skin type of person. I have bad skin, dude. I used to get bumps. I would have bumps. You see this? It would be like my whole arm, dude. And since I have
eczema when I sweat too much, like in the summer, it kind of gets bad. Other than that, I have the skin of an angel. I don't know if you can tell. See that?
Skin of an angel?
Yeah, fill me up. Ah!
I don't know why this.
Or was that off camera? Was that off camera?
That was off camera.
Damn it! Nice.
Why did you think that was
going to
happen?
I kind of, like, it was like a 40% chance that it was going to happen. I was like, maybe Johnny just wants to film me for real. I could use some human touch.
All right, here we go.
Oh, shit.
We find it?
Starts with piano.
Starts with piano?
Yep.
Oh, look, I have to do it over here. Oh, over here. Nice.
This is the one?
No.
It's not the one? Could you fix
it? It's not the one?
I always have one that had piano in it.
No way, you gotta fix your seat, dude.
I'll get...
The kid, he's all the way in the corner.
He's Richard Griffin's in right now.
Oh, there we go.
We're all fucked up today, dude.
Oh, there we go.
I like an unhinged episode. I think they're fun.
Thank you.
This is the best.
I think they're fun.
Our guest keeps getting up. Look at him. He's never had this before. Nick, would you just find it? It's fucking... It's a band and a song. It's not that difficult.
It's a band and
Jesus Christ.
It's a rubber band man.
You gotta look for two things.
There we are. That sounds familiar.
Fucking shit.
We gave him away way too much drinks already.
Ooh, I do like it.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah. There we go. Listen to his voice.
I don't mind it at all, actually.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Now, this is a white nationalist band, or? totally kidding.
No, that voice. Holy shit. Is the fucking shit, dude.
I like that.
Are you a singer? Do you sing at all?
I do karaoke, but not like this. No, that dude is fucking... That dude is
angle, like... Angle that microphone. Just right toward your face. Just twist it.
So would you sing your Chris Cornell, Ben?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I kind of hear that in the way the hooks are.
Oh, so good.
I honestly, I was watching Chester Bennington videos the other day. We were doing, you know, karaoke. Well, not so much karaoke, just singing along to YouTube music and watching Bryan Adams live. Bryan Adams is my fucking shit, dude. I love Bryan Adams.
What is that?
It's probably shit you wouldn't enjoy, but it's like the, everything I do it for you. He's got that song. Baby, you're all that I want. When you're lying. Yeah, it's like all ballady shit, but I love that shit.
Homo!
We were watching...
are you gay now?
We were watching live music and then just watching performances of, like, Chester Bennington. Like, dude, that guy...
He was the man, dude.
His
voice is probably, to me, honestly, the only person who comes close as far as, like, talent-wise, I can't imagine how he does it. It's Sam Carter from Architects, because how hard it is what he does.
But yeah, no, I mean, those dudes who belt, those belter singers, those guys, fuck.
All right, I got a question for you and the gentleman on my
I wouldn't even call him Chris Cornell so much a belter, but he's more of a virtuoso than than Jeff was.
They have, them two had a lot in common. Go ahead, Trey.
So I got a question for you and the gentleman on the left. Green shirt. Do you guys ever do some kind of opera kind of shit? Like...
You know what's ironic is I really do love operatic music and even like croony type music. I'll sing it around the it's witchcraft, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, see, I don't even take it seriously, but it's like, oh yeah, I know it on something bad. I could do that. I could croon, you know?
All right, sir. What's your opinion on this?
Sir.
Let the moon hits the
I love that shit, dude. So
you're talking about like
opera.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I thought like Pavarotti, that kind of shit.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of great fundamentals in it. I mean, I do appreciate.
Have you ever been to an opera, Mike?
Huh?
Have you ever been to an opera?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I appreciate the fuck out of them. I'll sit through a 2-hour opera.
Ridiculous.
It's insane. It's a musical experience. Because of the fact that it's live and it's that on point, you're just like blown away by that fact and you're like on this high from it. And then the performance and the show to it is pretty incredible, dude.
It sounds... For acoustic sound, it sounds 3D. I don't know how.
That's why I love it.
That's a good way to put it. It
sounds
like,
why I love
it. It's like,
I'm like,
you finally have the wall of sound without headphones, you know what I mean? In your head.
Fuck it. Right there. You hit it. Mm. Yep. That's exactly why I love it. Like, some dude or some lady could go up on stage and just go, whatever. I don't know what the fuck they're saying.
Now do it again.
Dude, if you could fucking do that, you're blowing my dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know where. See, but
Maria.
It's the fucking, like, you know, what's his name? What's the Mexican, what the fuck? The Mexican singer. Ranchero Way.
Oh, man. The one who passed away.
Felipe Fernandez.
Oh, Fernandez. I'm like, dude, I look up to that guy.
I've seen the toughest of, like, Chunti and Cholo Mexican guys having beers, and when he died, I've seen them, like, cry.
Oh,
he was the best.
Yeah.
You're
the
best.
Nah, fool. That's what's up, fool. That's what's up.
Hey, homie. I love you, bro. But goddamn, bro.
No, he's good, fool. That's why. That's why, fool.
That shit's dope. Alright. No, yeah.
Shit.
Disgusting ads. Yuck, yuck.
Printful. If you want to make super high quality merchandise, t-shirts and stuff like that, go to printful.com.
Your band needs merch, you know where to get it, huh? printful.com.
All right, you're leaning super Italian now. It's like, bada-bada-bada-bada-bada.
Hundreds of different items, mugs, hats, shirts, sweaters, hoodies, anything you want, you could put your logo on, band designs, you could throw it on pretty much everything. Do stickers, buttons, patches, all of it. You can get it printed and shipped, and you don't have to leave your house or buy any shipping materials.
Easiest way that you could make merchandise or things that you could share with your fan base.
Get all your merch for your band. You can sell it online, and guess what? They do the printing and they do the shipping for you, so you don't have to do shit else.
You literally just have to do the sharing with people, and then they do all the rest of the work for you.
Yes, easy money. You design the stuff, you share it, and Printful takes care of the rest. Also, you can put Printful with Shopify or something like that and work them together.
Now, Johnny, tell the people how to spell that again.
Printful.com/a/dunce. PRINTIFUL.com/a/dunce.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Fucking proud of you on that one.
I thought I wasn't going to get it.
That's printful.com/a/dunce.
Dunce.
Yeah,
hey, don't fucking do that shit.
Well, let me say this. Thank you for inviting me, Johnny.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, this is so far a very fun episode. We're not even done yet, though. We got another 2.5
hours. No, we want to pick your brain a little bit for a couple reasons. You know, obviously, you know, you were in the music scene in Southern California, and you've been kind of active in bands, and also you're a comedian. You know, like are there parallels you could draw in the two scenes and things you could explain to that, you know, as musician or people, musicians that, okay, for me, just to kind of give the full track here of the questioning here. I think I've witnessed a lot of crossover in people who are musicians enjoying comedy.
I noticed that too myself. Okay. Yeah.
So I see that. So for
there's a lot of similarities,
for people who are musicians who enjoy comedy and as a person who's kind of made a transition into doing comedy, what would you describe your journey a little bit through that?
I'm not saying that like, here we go again. I'm saying that because obviously I did it, right? So look, man, when it comes to music and comedy, you're artistic. When you're transitioning.
Well, we're autistic, so. Is it the same thing or no?
I always thought they were the same thing. I think it's just like it's like different
spellings. Dude,
don't
let me laugh when I'm trying to be serious.
It's just like different spellings, like no and no.
It's
you know?
Just, God, you get enough of both of them. You're like, all right, fuck, man. Okay, these motherfuckers not showing up. And then you go to a rock show or whatever, like, oh, these motherfuckers not showing. It's the same thing, bro. It's the same fucking thing. You get tired. Hey, already, my frustration is already coming out. But yeah,
we like this stuff.
Yeah, it comes out, and you're like, okay, I put my shit out there, and that's where we're at. All right, cool. Out. Mm-hmm. What else do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not angry because it's not continuing. I'm just like, you know what? It's a whole lot of been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to any comedian, any actor or whatever, like, you know what? Been there, done that. I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm. Yeah.
So are you still, you haven't done shows in a while? You still
I haven't, no. And I choose not to.
Okay. Is there a reason in particular?
I just said it. You're fucking been there, done that. I'm cool.
So would you say that you ever had like a passion for like doing comedy and stuff? Or would you say that it was just something you wanted to try? Or would you say, because to me, I admittedly to these boys right here, like I've said, like I'm deathly afraid of even trying it because I have a strong passion for it. I would love to talk. I would love to get behind a mic. And you know, but I have a terrible fear that I would not be what people want to hear from, you know?
No, fuck all that. Fuck so all that. Do it. No, for real. Do it.
But that's honestly, like I said, one of the reasons I wanted to pick your brain about it is to see, you know, because I know it's competitive as fuck out there, you know, and you don't need to be this is the same way in music, in my opinion, like the way you don't need to be the current turnstile, you know, you don't need to be the top band. You don't need to be the most popular name. I think you just need to be having fun doing it.
No,
in my opinion,
this is where I step in and say, forget about like. Hey, you're going to be the top dog. You're going to be... No, fuck all that. You do it because you want to do it and pencil that shit in something you want to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, you know stand-up comedy? Fucking did it.
Mm-hmm.
I could write about it. That's it.
Yeah.
Music. I'm never going to stop writing music. I'm never going to stop doing anything I do. It's just like, you kind of check off the boxes and you let it go.
Yeah.
Now, those people who really do love and want to do it for a career, bless them.
Yeah, it's got to be hard.
Bless them.
I will say, I'll never talk trash on it. Like, I've always been like...
if you want to use that and do that as a career... You're stronger than I am.
Yeah. It's a very difficult thing to do.
I did it for 15 years. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I can make money.
You got some trash talk to dole out on any comedians in the scene? That means yes, but no. That means yes, but no.
I will say this. I take the Bill Burr version of like what the fuck a comedian's talking about. He's right, in my opinion, of course. But the dude is right. It's like, dude, just shut the fuck up and write and speak the real shit. What the fuck you talking? Okay. Well, all right, here we go. In 1 minute less. This whole Gaza thing, I fucking hate it. All right? Stop killing kids. Stop that shit. The other one is history. I'm a huge history guy. I'm like, fuck you and your fucking thoughts about history. I've read the books. You're fucking wrong. Fuck you. All right, one more. Religion. That's always been a big one with me. It's like, don't tell people how to fucking live life, man. Just fucking be yourself. All right. That's enough.
And that was our 1 minute hot take from No Way. Oh, but no, you're fine, man. Honestly, I would argue we've expressed hotter takes than that on here, yeah, for sure.
We talk. We say a lot of.
Yeah. No. It's very frustrating. Honestly, it seems like a no brainer to me. I got into an argument, not an argument, but deep conversation that started as a semi argument last night with my mom. You know, kind of talking about how.
How's she doing? I just want to know.
She's doing great.
She's good?
She's great.
Still looking good?
She's looking as great as you want her to look. You son of a bitch. Anyways, so...
Hey, no way. All I'm going to say is...
Oh, my God. Let me get back on. Here we go.
Dude,
the next time...
You hang out with my mom, it's gonna be super awkward. And
no, don't do that.
You're not gonna know why.
Don't do that.
You're
don't
not gonna know why.
Clip it. Clip that shit.
Okay, let me.
Long story short, okay. I come from a family of four beautiful sisters and a beautiful mom, and Johnny. You know Johnny. So
I exploit it.
I'm listening.
Anyways, more or less, we got into a conversation about self-governance, right? I don't find it to be a ridiculous prospect. Let's say we were to do a purge-esque, there is no laws, there is no kind of rules against stealing, theft, rape, murder. But... if you refrain from doing those things,
in what that you mean time, like in one day or like
in
a
one
week?
Day? Let's say in one day.
I'm going to Anthony's mom's house.
Oh, you son of a bitch! You spicy son of a bitch! Honestly, I'd call you stepdad. I'd call you stepdad,
motherfuckers,
Johnny.
Motherfuckers!
You wouldn't take Johnny as your stepdad.
That'd be fun.
As long as you take time. After dinner, to have a catch with me in the backyard?
Yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah, then you can call him Johnny Mom's Badge.
All right.
All right, we got there.
I'm listening.
We got there.
Let's go.
But self-governance, right? So let's say we did a purge-esque style thing. But for all people who did not engage in that kind of behavior, you got $1 million for the next.
Oh, that's a tough one, bro.
I think that you don't need that motivator, but I think it makes it a little bit easier to see my point. And my point is that most of the time, let's say you're at a gas station, you see like a lady vulnerable, her purse is right there. You have every ability as a capable man to be like, you know what, fuck this lady, I'll push her, I'll steal her purse. But you choose not to do it. All of us, most of us do that on a daily basis. Yeah. There's a lot of us that are fucking evil and suck and we'll just desperate, poor and desperate. So given the option of answering to your own morality, instead of, instead of the stick, the carrot versus the stick, motivated by a carrot or motivated by a stick? Instead of the stick,
all right,
we give people a carrot. You know what I mean?
I get it. Yeah.
I hear you.
I feel like I'd survive that 24 hours without effort.
Yeah, I'll be good.
I'd be fine. You sit me in front of my fucking barbecue with some hot dogs, and I fucking hit the pool, and I watch everybody in the streets. I'm watching from my place. Yeah. I'm like, oh shit, that guy just fucking shot that dude with a fucking compound bow.
Right, right.
Yeah, until they come into your property, and then they're like, hey, let me get a hot dog.
But that's the thing, is for me, I'd be like, here, take a hot dog.
I'd be good as long as Anthony's sisters didn't walk by. What about you, Mick?
Same, dude. Let's get that.
He said same.
No. Wait, hold on, Johnny. Do you have any sisters?
I just come from good stock. That's all I have to say. I come from good stock.
Yeah, one sister. Yeah.
Oh, Johnny's got a sister?
I didn't
Johnny's
know this.
Johnny's got a sister?
Oh. One. One sister.
All right, this is going to go one of two ways by the next episode.
And that's why I leave the chat room.
All right. Where are we at? Are we at like the 110-y area?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll start wrapping up. But
we're an hour.
Okay.
An hour?
We got some stretch.
Let's do that last topic right there, though. Let's talk about some metal.
Death metal?
Yeah.
The most death metal of all time? How would a death metal
how death metal can a death metal song be death metal?
Oh, there it is.
All right, go for it, Johnny.
Hey, so check it out. I've been thinking about this. I've been pondering this all day since you sent me this, right? No way.
All right. I have my answer immediately. So
It got me listening to death metal all morning just to like get into the, I'm like, okay, what song is the most death metal, right? What song is the most death metal? Yep. Which one?
I have my answer.
Right. And at first the way that I saw it and the way that I thought about it, I said, let's define what death metal is first.
Okay.
So we could figure out what the most,
man,
death
you're
metal
really going to go there.
Oh, we're going deep, dog. Oh, this ain't going to be easy. All we right. had to go
all
deep.
Right. All right.
All right. No way. First, give me. Okay. Let's go around.
This motherfucker, man.
This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking we go around and everybody name one.
Don't start with me. Go for it.
We all name one thing that makes a death metal song death metal. No way. I'm going to tell you right now. These guys don't listen to as much death metal as we do. Okay.
What the fuck is that? Yeah.
I love you so much, baby.
You motherfucker.
We got Mick on the soundboard today. I'm gonna say there's a few things that make a song truly death metal, and one of them is song title.
Oh, dude. I'm on the same tip as you.
So,
one
of my favorite ones is Cannibal Corpse,
okay,
Mummified by Barbed Wire. It's one of the most death metal
fucking
songs.
He's right about that. Fuck.
That, Anthony, go ahead. What's one thing that defines death metal?
I honestly, you were on the same argument as me. Like, it has to sound evil and wicked.
Sound crazy.
And to me, and the only reason I know songs like this, like for example, like, you know, me, my old band, we would, after practice during breakdown, we would be like, all right, let's come up with a death metal band. My death metal band name was Sarcophagus Cuntfuck.
That was a song you...
No, that was a death metal band name that I wanted to come up with. But yeah, so it's not Entombment, I'm sorry. It's Devourment. Baby killer.
Great song.
That
name.
That one is.
That's some pussy ass shit, bro.
All right, what's yours?
Ready?
What's yours? Let's hear it.
Homie, are you ready?
Bring it up.
Hammer smash face, bro. That is the most death metal fucking song. Fuck y'all. That's it right there. Come on, that riff.
I agree with you.
Here we go. Do you guys like
Cannibal Corpse is the band, bro?
Do you think they're the top tier?
Thank you.
So this is what I say about death metal.
What
it's,
about
it's Cannibal Corpse?
Do you guys count in like Infant Annihilator?
The Grant, yes. They're death metal, but they're like tech
proggy
death metal
or techie. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Whoa.
So that's the thing with death metal. It goes into tech a lot.
Because, really?
Yeah.
You think so?
The thing about dying fetus. Think about dying fetus. Think about fucking cattle decapitation. They start going technical.
To me, Cannibal Corpse and
you said the said the most death metal of death metal sounding.
Come on, man. You're not gonna argue. I know you're not gonna argue against that. Yeah. But okay, you want to go technical death metal? Necrophages.
Necrophages is the best. Yeah. But that's different.
Okay, so that's
not this is where we're starting to split the hairs.
No, that's not death metal. That's tech metal. That's technical death metal.
All right.
When it comes to straight
death. Can I tell you something? Let me just chime in real quick. The metal community is fucking gay. That you have to break shit up like that because you're so insecure your genre. No. You have to make so many sub-genres.
Literally,
he's right about that.
He's such a fat metal dick.
No, listen.
You could just call it elitist metal. You know what I mean?
Elitist metal?
This is what I... Look, when it comes to saying what's the most death metal song of all
you
time...
You can't get past it. Come on, bro.
It's got to be Cannibal Corpse.
If two of the members of the panel here have already said Cannibal Corpse, it's hard to argue against
Cannibal Corpse. Or it's Deicide. I don't know what other band is more death metal than that. All right.
Let's press pause. I'm going to give him a song that I want to play, and then you let me know. Okay?
But you're right about that song. My Cannibal Corpse song was Mummified and Barbed Wire. That was my Cannibal Corpse song.
But you both elected Deicide. Cannibal Corpse.
I think Cannibal Corpse is the one. Deicide. It's because Deicide was when death metal and thrash. It was when thrash was coming out, but Deicide did death metal. But it was still thrashy death metal. Cannibal Corpse.
I'm going to prove your point.
Cannibal Corpse
gonna come up.
Went with the real what death metal is.
All right, here we go.
It's Cannibal Corpse. It's been Cannibal Corpse.
But listen to this, and you have an argument.
Right.
As soon as it. Come on. Here we go.
This is
Deicide?
Yeah, it's Deicide.
Never heard this.
And it's coming, bro. It's coming. Here we go.
Definitely, death metal has more of like the chuggy element to it.
There's different.
Like the straight chugs. I want to hear him. Say that one more time.
No, I'm just saying like the straight chugs. Is really infamous in death metal. It has like a little bit of like an 80s metal like flair to it, but it's like heavier. I mean, a lot of people, you know, 80s metal, I'm talking about like Pantera.
I think in our earlier episodes, we did try to talk about like what's the heaviest riff we came across or whatever. But I mean, that's kind of crazy to try to like put the genres, we've never done that. Put the genres up against each other. Like, what is heavier? What's heavier? Death metal, prog metal, black metal.
I think honestly, because death metal is
play
like,
that again, please.
Deathcore.
Deathcore is the heavier.
Play that again, please.
Deathcore. That's what I was gonna say. Mix right. There's nothing heavier than deathcore because it combines death metal with breakdowns. There's nothing heavier than that.
That is so true.
There's nothing heavier than that.
I'm not gonna debate.
Also, although Korn Live is the heaviest shit I've ever seen in my life.
So new metal's in there as a contender
I think it's because Korn is so hip hop based.
But no, okay. Let's say for real though, like give the band Mayhem, who is like has one of the most like metal images of all time.
Right.
Give them the opportunity to play like to like a million people. How fucking huge would that be?
Right. That'd be
heavy as fuck too.
That'd be crazy as shit, man.
This guy loves being off camera.
First of all, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. We can't hear you because the mic is big.
I know.
If you speak with your dick, it'd be better. I want to thank you guys for letting me on your podcast.
Crazy.
But it's, I'm right here. It's Cannibal Corpse, right? Because Deicide,
I will agree with you.
Was thrash death metal.
Yeah, I will agree with you that
did the death metal.
I will agree with you that Deicide was like the transition
like
from
the grandfather, dude.
Yeah, and then I'm starting to hold on. Cannibal Corpse, thrash to death, and then Cannibal Corpse with death to death.
Yeah.
There you go.
Basically, yeah. But there's like different things that define death metal. The name, I think, the band name, the song
right
title
about
name.
That.
The if you get the fucking pitter patter double bass and you can hear it really clear, that defines death metal. You get those riffs that are
where does with production with death metal. I know black metal, it's almost like sin to have good production.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
with there, death metal.
Well, the same thing with death metal.
Sin to have. He's right about that.
That's right. Yeah.
It's sin to have. The same wait, thing you with death sound metal. Good? Fuck
yeah.
Out of here.
Yeah.
Wait. Honestly, I like the riff. Where's the mud? There isn't there supposed to be
more,
mud in there?
I need
I'm
more.
I'm supposed to not
I'm hearing
understand
no,
it.
I'm hearing what no hiss.
Can I get more saturation? Like a lot more?
I should be hearing a lot of.
Yeah, there is not
in
enough
the signal,
static.
I'm not.
That is that, fucking hell.
And there's only two vocals for death metal. Is it?
There we go.
What you guys is
there's only two.
We could do this for 20 minutes.
There's only two. I'm telling you, there's five things: song title, band name. You gotta have those
what
fucking
is,
the you gotta hear the fucking kick pedals. Bah, bah, bah,
dude,
bah, bah, bah.
What is the most fucking black metal song name?
Now most black metal?
Yeah, the most black metal. Would it be like
well, let me look at Cradle of Filth's music titles, song titles. It's gotta be them, dude.
Among the Darkness.
Oh, really?
I got one.
It's some ambiguous shit.
Oh, no, I got one. No. I got one. I got murdered by a church burning rapist.
There we go.
No, here we go. Here we go. This is it right here. Non omnis morie.
What the fuck is that?
That's Cradle of Filth.
That's just Latin. That's just Latin.
That's black
that
metal.
That means
dude.
Can I have another cheeseburger?
That's exactly. That's exactly black metal,
oh,
dude. Stupid ass band song titles.
Another cheeseburger. Have you ever been at McDonald's and they said you have to wait 5 more minutes for your fries?
That shit
well,
is
guess
funny,
what?
Dude.
We are with you.
There's another.
They tell me to pull over the number 2 parking
oh,
space.
You motherfucker,
I fucking hate that shit. Serve me my food at the window.
Here's another.
We know you have quotas.
All right, here we
I'm
go. Here we go.
You.
Here we go. Here we go.
Here's another.
Go for
cradle,
it. Go for it. Go for
here's
it.
Another Cradle of Filth song title. Hallowed be thy name.
That's
how the fuck?
Dude, that would be a Celine Dion song.
No, that's
that could also be. That could also be the name of Celine Dion's song.
No.
Hollow be thy name.
That's, slaughter of the soul.
No. I'm gonna
slaughter.
Wait,
say that one more time.
Slaughter of the soul.
Slaughter.
At the gates. No, guys, remember the.
No, yeah, say it the way you said it though, Mike. Slaughter
of the soul.
You gotta sing that, bro. You gotta sing that. Come on.
I guarantee you, there is a Christian band that has a song
oh,
called
shit.
Hollow
Here
Be
we
Thy
go.
Name.
Here we go. Probably. Hold on. Here we go.
I love At the Gates, though. There's never a song I hear by them that I'm like,
slaughtered on the sun.
All right.
Yo, I'm liking this shit.
Yeah. Speaking of death metal, dog.
Blast Beats?
Blast Beats is another one.
Oh,
Blast Beats
don't
and
get
fucking
me
taka,
that
taka,
shit.
Taka, it's either taka, 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 or it's
So Quarter Time or Blast Beats.
Yeah. It's gotta be Blast Beats or taka, 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 taka. And then like there's literally those like handful of things that define a death metal song. So if that's the case, that means my favorite band, Impending Doom, is out because they have breakdowns. Doesn't count. All the
would
way.
You say
anyway.
It doesn't
count as death metal. It counts as deathcore.
Oh, gotcha.
So
gotcha.
Then I would listen to like Cattle Decapitation. Doesn't count because it's too technical. Doesn't count as death metal. Exactly.
Okay, you're getting to the bottom of something pretty important here. Like everyone has the conversation about what makes this that, but you're getting
right.
to some genuine
you see what
points.
I'm saying?
You're seeing some genuine you points here.
Dude, I was listening to band after band after band this morning. I'm like, let me get back into this because that's all I used to listen to growing up is thrash and death, right? So I started listening to fucking band after band. I'm like, okay, Carcass, pretty death metal, but a lot more grindcore than death metal. Cephalic Carnage.
Can I ask you a technical? To Let's be get into grindcore. Shit.
Can I ask you guys an opinion about something?
You see what
something?
I'm saying, Noe?
Go ahead.
Noe threw me on a fucking loop by bringing this damn topic in there because I was all morning listening.
I'm listening to you, bro.
Is Sepultura technically a death metal band?
Ooh.
No. Okay.
They're metal, yeah.
Here's my answer.
Metal core, Sepultura, almost, to me.
Sepultura? Nah. Sepultura is...
That's a different one. They're like the precursors of like metalcore to me.
Yeah, I guess.
I would almost put the same way, and I know it's very genre different or like sound style different, but like Deftones, I would say they're precursors to metalcore.
Mate, get the fuck out of here.
You don't think so?
Hell no.
They're the precursors.
Let's go back
to hella new metal.
Shoegaze. That's what they are.
Shoegaze.
They're the cursor to that. They literally. They didn't become popular till now.
Donnie.
That's my chino.
Let me.
That's pretty good.
Let me intervene and talk. Let me intervene and let's talk about this Sepultura discussion. Okay, so death metal was like late 1980s. Sepultura came in the late 1980s and produced their music in the late 1980s and developed in the early 1990s. So, yeah, Sepultura was definitely one of the bands that were originating death metal, just like death and all them.
Yeah,
I think I thought of the term.
So no, it's just, hey, you could put them in a categorization, but yeah, death, Sepultura, Morbid Angel.
I want to try to invent a terminology entombed. Here. We have the term hardcore. We have the term post-hardcore. I would say those more sludgy. I would even put fucking a Pantera into this fucking.
Yes.
More sludgy, absolutely. Slower. They're pre-hardcore.
Yeah.
That's what I would.
Definitely Pantera.
That's what I mean when I say that about that.
Yeah.
Is like literally they're like all the kids who were fans or all the kids who were fans of their music and became musicians.
Well, yeah.
And were joined Suicide Silence and Whitechapel.
Yeah.
They were fans of those
Pantera
bands.
And shit.
I would call that pre-hardcore.
Yeah.
That's the music.
Well, especially Pantera.
That.
Pantera is like paved the way for a lot of hardcore bands. It was Pantera. Right after that, it was Hatebreed. And then Hatebreed.
Yep.
It was Hatebreed and it was, what's the other one? Fucking,
Trapped.
18 Visions. 18 Visions and fucking
Hatebreed. 18
Visions is. That was a band that always came off as like the glam hardcore, but they were legit.
You see what
the music.
I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
You see
what
I'm saying? It was
I remember the first time I listened to 18 Visions, I started listening to Behemoth.
I was blown away because
they're
I thought
fucking good, dude.
I was so blown away by them.
Behemoth? Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yes. Dude. They were fucking dope.
They're so good, dude. But that's what I'm saying. Like, everything started branching off from death metal to like other shit. It went too far.
We're never going to leave this conversation, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Cut to Cameron.
I was down a fucking rabbit hole, dude. I was like, fucking
you motherfucker.
Band after band. I was like, okay, Necrophagus, not truly death metal, tech metal, I would call them.
That's okay.
Impending Doom, I was like, no, they went more hardcore and death metal, which made deathcore.
I'm a nerd, dude. Johnny, that's when you said. When Johnny said, hey, what about fucking Necrophagus?
Dude, that was the best one so far. That's perfect timing.
That's what I'm talking about. Fuck.
Decapitated.
Okay, yeah.
Death metal, but a little bit tech.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
If we're trying to genre size, you know, crazy. Everything. If we're trying to throw everything into bins, right? Every band is like, are they in this specific bin, whatever. What does that say? About the conversation, you know, about music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like you know, we were talking about Turnstile, right? They started out as this very straightforward hardcore project, and then they branched out. They made some fucking EDM-style songs.
Yeah,
So it's like all of that kind of shit, like, what's the artist's move? You know, do you stay in your fucking pocket and you just keep on doing that over and over again? Or do you try to branch out, make something crazy and new? Or it's all very nebulous, dude. It's all very nebulous.
It is.
I like
it
that
is.
Word. But
check it out. The argument was at the beginning, what's the most death metal song of all time? And I said Mummified and Barbed Wire. No Way said, what song? What
you
Cannibal
both collected
songs?
A Cannibal Corpse song.
Total of them.
Which
it
one
was
did you?
Dead by Dawn. And
Dead by Dawn was one of mine too.
And I had Hammer Smash Face.
So look, I honestly think the argument is won by Hammer Smash Face by Cannibal Corpse. That's definitely the most death metal song of all time.
You've heard it here first, opinion. Ladies and gentlemen. From
in my opinion, that's
from certified
the
experts. The most death
certified experts.
The most death metal song. The most death metal song. Okay, what is the most the most death metal song to death metal of all time? Death metaled by Cannibal Corpse. It is Hammer Smash Face. Insert confetti and all that stuff there.
Oh my god!
But
that is
there. We go. Cannibal Corpse.
We did it, guys.
Oh, dude, you gotta play it out
there.
Now play it out.
Yeah, play it out.
The band is
all right. No, I'll do the acceptance speech on behalf of Cannibal Corpse. Here we go. And here's the acceptance speech on behalf of Cannibal Corpse. Here we go. Ready? Right, play in the background.
His first word is.
All right, ready?
And the funniest thing about it is the vocalist is a fucking World of Warcraft nerd.
That makes it all the better. All right, where is it at? You got this?
You know, you're right in a way. I was listening to fucking Cannibal Corpse. I'm like, it's got to be Dead by Dawn. Ooh. This is the one.
Isn't this the song in Ace Ventura?
Yeah,
No.
No, is it?
The song in Ace Ventura is Hammer Smash Face, dude. Hammer Smash Face.
That's this song. All right.
So thank you. We want to accept this award on behalf.
And why are you so English? What's going on here?
You don't realize this? This is my bit. Every rock star is British. We want to accept this award on behalf of the Stool Podcast. This is an amazing honor. We've never been blessed with an honor like this to be named the most death metal band to death metal, all of death metal. And we agree with you 100%. Shit. We are definitely the most death metal band in the world. Cannibal Corpse forever. Fucking death metal, mate.
I just want to say this real quick.
Aren't they like Swedish?
I sound
or
gay as fuck.
No, they're American as fuck.
It would be funnier if they were the Swedish ones.
I was. Let me say one thing to. Thank you. The shit was dope, bro.
That's fun.
Yeah, shit was dope, bro. Shit was dope, bro. All right. Noe out.
We out.
Well, let's do that. Well, we're going to ask you for your plugs if you want to plug anything here in a second. But
yeah, plug your Instagram and shit. Yeah,
all right.
Tell them where they could find you, Noe.
Yeah, this is definitely the song from Ace Ventura.
Dude,
this
what
is
should
the
I,
most that I've met.
What should I do
demo.
My voice in? Tony Soprano? Hey, what the fuck?
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
All right, here we go.
You do it good. That's
right. 3, 2, 1.
The camera's right there. You see that one? The little one? The orange and black?
I hear you. I know, I see it.
No, the run right in front of you.
You're looking at the screen.
Jesus. Let me tell you something. I run this fucking thing, okay? Dude, I can't even be serious. Look, Noe Castillo. My Instagram is Castillo_Noe at Funny Noe, and the same thing with Facebook. So, but yeah, you want your fucking voices? I'm right here, baby. Let's go.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah, Johnny, go ahead. Go for it. We'll go counterclockwise.
Hey, thank you for watching the Stool Podcast. My name is Johnny, a.k.a. Johnny Savage. Cannibal Corpse, one of the bands I grew up listening to.
I thought this entire time...
What?
I thought it was Johnny Sausage.
No.
What?
Wait, what the fuck? We got a fucking Johnny Sausage over here.
Actually, I'm going to change it.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm going to change this Johnny Sausage.
Fucking guys, Johnny Sausage. What the fuck?
So it's Johnny.
No. Fuck that. Shut the fuck up. All right.
Johnny
Sausage.
Fucking Sausage.
This fucking guy. I, you know what? I get no fucking name right here. All right. Johnny, my apologies. Johnny Sausage, take it away, baby.
Thank you.
Johnny, a.k.a. Johnny Sausage on IG, TikTok, YouTube. I'm changing it, guys, as of today. I appreciate you guys watching. Make sure you like and subscribe. Check out my band, DNG Heavy. Check out The Dunce Official on IG. Hey, we got a lot of music coming out. Anthony, take it away.
All right. Lots of music projects coming up this summer. It's actually going to be kind of crazy. I got a band at Zaida Hardcore on Instagram. Go follow us. At Witch the Band. Go follow us. I play bass for that band. And finally, at Cherry Coyote, we have our own page now. We're all rocking and ready to go. Follow us on Instagram for more content. And that's going to be me, Mike.
All right. What's up, guys? Yeah, you can go ahead and find me on Instagram at NoMixGiven. I want to go ahead and thank you guys for tuning into the Stool Podcast. Go ahead and hit that like, subscribe button down below. Hit that bell icon for more future episodes. Get notified when we put some new shit out.
This shit was dope, bro.
And yeah. But yeah, appreciate you guys for tuning in. Go ahead and check out. We got a new website coming pretty soon. We've been working on that behind the scenes. And keep an eye out for that. And everything Anthony said, Cherry Coyote, we got some stuff coming up. And new stuff with The Dunce coming up, new metal shit that we've been working on. Sounds really sick. Go ahead and, like I said, give us a follow on Instagram at The Dunce Official, on IG at The Dunce.
I don't know why TikTok. You guys are so fucking nervous. Say something,
bro. We love
bro.
You. We're letting him say his plugs. He fucking don't shut the fuck up. All right. Thank you for coming.
We love you.
Thanks for listening. Love you guys.